Well, let's open up our Bibles at Galatians and chapter 6. And let's focus our minds this evening on this cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6 from verse 12. And the Apostle Paul writes, "Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. But may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God." Well, let's pray before we look at that verse. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given to us today. It's been a very warm day and it's a warm evening. But we pray that you would help us to keep our focus and attention tonight. Help us not to lose the time or squander this time or to waste it. Help us to use it, we pray, that we might be refocused on the very center of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. People have to boast in something. We all boast or glory in different things. We all do that. People will boast in their attainments or their abilities. Governments will boast in their promises and their achievements. Promoters will boast in their products and their satisfied customers. Vloggers will boast in their likes and their followers. Booksellers will boast in their bestsellers. And parents often boast in their children. We all boast in something, and boasting's not necessarily wrong, but it is wrong if we're boasting too much in the wrong thing. And here the Apostle Paul says, it's in great contrast to the Judaizers of his day who wanted just religion, and it's like they wanted to go around counting up their converts by how many circumcisions they got. That's what verse 13 is saying. They boast in that. But Paul says, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. And all true Christians have said the same ever since then. There's a great resource in our hymns about glorying in the cross. We've just sung one of them. In the cross, be my glory ever. Or the famous one by Isaac Watts, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my Lord. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. He wrote Galatians, and the Apostle Paul was a genius of a man in many ways. He was a real scholar, and not just an academic, though he could cut it with the philosophers of Athens and any academic. He had a pastoral heart as well. But here's the Apostle Paul, who could have boasted in anything. He could have boasted in his ancestry. He could have boasted in his education, his morality, his religion. He could have boasted in his present attainments of the revelation he received from God. He could have boasted in the fact that he was an apostle. There were only 12 of those, and he was an apostle born out of due time. He could have boasted in the great experience he had of being caught up to the third heaven. There are many things he could have boasted in. But he says, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder why. The cross wasn't a pretty thing. It wasn't a beautiful sight. It was a foul spectacle and a dreadful event. Psalm 22 describes the cross in terms of animal behavior. The bulls of Bashan surrounding Jesus, the lions roaring at him, and dogs surrounding him. Now, the cross was a horrific, it's a terrible thing. And there's horrible descriptions of it given in the Old Testament in particular. So why then should Paul boast in such a thing? Why would he say, "Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, holds a wondrous attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary." Why would Paul boast in the cross? Why should we boast in the cross? Let me give you four reasons. First, Paul boasted in the cross because through the cross he was justified. He was justified. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Romans 3 and verse 21. There Paul writes, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Verse 25. "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate the righteousness, his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." Who's justified? It's the ones who have faith in Jesus. And what in particular about Jesus? Well, back there in verse 25, Jesus on the cross being presented as a sacrifice of atonement. And when it says in verse 25, God presented Christ, it's like he publicly displayed him. "This is my son." And he's on a cross. But on that cross and through the precious blood of Jesus being shed for us, we can be justified. Now, we know that the word justified or justification is very much used in legal terminology. But when we use it in the New Testament, we use it in a sense of being put right with God. Not guilty, but justified. Innocent. And when someone is justified, it means two things. It means, first of all, that all their sins are taken away and put on Jesus, imputed to him. And his righteousness is then imputed to the one who believes. It's given to the one who believes. So this great exchange takes place on the cross. Jesus takes my sin and he gives me his righteousness in place of my sin. So that when God looks upon me, he can look upon me as just. And that's an amazing thing, that through the cross, we are counted as righteous as Jesus. So the Apostle Paul, he boasted in the cross because he knew that because of the cross, he was not guilty anymore, he was not condemned, but he was right with God. Second reason why Paul boasted in the cross was because through the cross, he was redeemed. Redeemed. Let's look at 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're not really staying with any of these verses. We're just using them to build up this big picture of why we should glory in the cross. Through the cross, we're justified. Through the cross, we are redeemed. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. How are we redeemed? Not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And where was that blood shed? Shed on the cross. We know by now that the word redeem means to set a captive free. Someone's taken you hostage. You can't get away until someone pays the ransom price. What's our ransom price? Well, it's not silver or gold. That can buy you many things, but it can't buy your freedom. Only the precious blood of Jesus can buy our freedom. What are we hostage to? Who's got us in captivity? Well, the world, Satan, and sin. And people just can't break free from any of those things. The world's hold is strong upon people. Satan's grip is strong as well. And sin, it grabs us and won't let us go. So we can't break free from any of those things. But Jesus, when he died upon the cross, he paid the price so that no longer is Satan our master, no longer does the world rule us, and no longer is sin our master. We are now under grace. No amount of money could ever purchase our freedom, but the cross of Christ did. You are set free by the precious blood of Christ. Why boast in the cross? Because it justifies us and because it redeems us. Third, four of these. Third, Paul boasted in the cross because through the cross he was reconciled to God. We're rolling out all the big theological words tonight, aren't we? Justified, redeemed, reconciled. What is it to be reconciled? Well, come to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and you'll see. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. To be reconciled is to be brought into a relationship with someone that you weren't in a relationship with before because you had something against them or they had something against you. In other words, this term reconciled can be used in, is often used in the business world, isn't it? In the days when the trades unions were really strong. I know when I worked on the newspaper, the trades unions were so strong then, so strong. And there were often strikes. And then afterwards there had to be a reconciliation. It's the same in war. If countries are at war with one another, there's real hostility there. So after the war, their peace needs to be made and reconciliation needs to take place. So reconciliation happens when two parties that were at war with each other are now at peace with each other. And people's attitude to God is one of hostility and enmity and hatred. And that was your attitude to God before you were a Christian, and mine as well. But Jesus has come. And through his death upon the cross, he's reconciled God with humanity and humanity with God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's loads in these verses. But just look there at verse 19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That is a wonder of language. That is an amazing verse. If you are aware of your sin, then you will also be aware of how amazing that verse is, that God will not count our sins against us. You know, when people fall out with each other, as often takes place in many areas of life, but when they do, something happens. And very often then that the person who's been offended will say, well, I can't be friends with them, or I can't get on with them while they have done that. Do you know what they've done? Do you know what they've said? They said that. They've done that. I hold that against them. You won't actually use those words, I hold that against them, but that's what people mean. I hold it against them, and as long as they've got that, there's no way that I can be in a relationship with them. I hold it against them. Do you know God could easily say that about our sin, couldn't he? You know, if you think our sins are so big, so horrible, so awful, and God could easily say, I'm not getting on with you. I've got your sin against you. And God would be perfectly just to say that. But what you read here is that God reconciles the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. He's dealt with our sin, and he's dealt with it at the cross. At the cross, Jesus took our sins away. No, Christian, God is not against you. God is for you, and he doesn't hold your sin against you. Which brings us to our fourth thing, final thing. Paul boasted in the cross because of the forgiveness of all his sins. Forgiveness. Look at our final verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. We read that in him, that's in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Through the blood of Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. The Old Testament will tell us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In the Old Testament, animal after animal after animal was sacrificed, but it could never take away sin, could only make people outwardly clean and ritually clean. But in the New Testament, the blood of Christ cleanses us within, cleanses our consciences, cleanses us from sin. God forgives us. Paul the Apostle had deep sins. He was a blasphemer. He was a violent man. He killed Christians. It's big sins, aren't they? But Paul says here that in his blood we have forgiveness of sins. You know what the word, Greek word for forgive means? It means to let go, to let free, to set free, to let loose, to loose. That's what it means. And Paul says, I've been freed from my sins. Forgiven my sins. God no longer holds them against me. Sins can do terrible things to people. Gives us a guilty conscience now, and it will send us to hell afterwards. But the Apostle Paul knew that because of the cross, his sins were forgiven. And so are yours, my friend. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven freely. Freely you have received, freely give, freely your sins are forgiven. Hasn't cost you anything. Cost Jesus everything. So Paul says, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. Through it, I'm justified. I'm redeemed. I'm reconciled. I am forgiven. Praise God.